Dear Lord God, once again we are before you to listen to you, to bow our knees before you and just praise you and worship you. Lord, we want to hear a message from you. Teach us something that we need to know. Use it to draw us closer to you, and also let it be something that'll help us in the days and years to come. We always ask that, but we still mean it. It's not something we just want to say. I mean, we truly mean it. We want it to be something that will help us. We want to draw closer to you. We want to serve you better. We just want to please you. So, Father, right now, just send your Holy Spirit. Be it ever present with us right now. Just pour it out on us, Lord. Just draw us closer to you. Speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a quick scripture out of 2 Timothy to kind of lead into what we're going to talk about. It says 2 Timothy 3, starting verse 1. It says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." Wow, that's a heck of a list right there. Now, when you look at television, just anywhere you go, just think back to see if you think you see any signs like that of people being that way. And you wonder how people can be that way, and it's without Jesus, all of us are that way. And some of us probably still have some of these traits, hopefully not near as bad as what it says here, but some of us, none of us are perfect. Because just because we have Jesus as our Savior doesn't mean we're now perfect. But the whole point is, are we wanting to be this way or are we wanting to be different? Because it ends the scripture here, it says, have nothing to do with them. The Bible tells us to have nothing to do with people that do that. Now, God's not saying lock yourself in a room and stay away from everybody and because obviously that's impossible. But you are like the people you hang with. I mean, that's just the way it is. If your kids hang with a bad crowd in school, they're probably going to be bad. If I hang with people at work that are bad, one of us are going to rub off on the other one. Either I'm going to rub off on them or they're going to rub off on me. And, obviously, like I said, before, we can't separate ourselves from the world. We got to be in it. And that's why the Bible says we have to be the salt of the earth. We need to influence them rather than them influencing us. Well, how do we influence people? Well, to do that, I want to read some more here. And it's out of Titus. And it says, Paul's talking to Titus. And Titus is a preacher, and he's trying to get direction from Paul as to what he's supposed to do. So Paul's giving him direction. It says, "You must teach what is in accordance with sound doctrine. Teach older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance." Okay? So, if I take what Paul's telling Titus, that also applies to me, what I'm doing right here. What am I supposed to do? Well, I'm supposed to teach the people that listen to me to do exactly what it says here. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith, in love and in endurance. Why am I supposed to do that? Well, that way they can be examples. We can be examples to other people. And if we live the way we're supposed to, we will be those examples. But let's go on and just see if it just talks about men or if it talks about anything else. It says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. It's a trickle-down effect. Yeah. Preachers are supposed to teach their congregation how they're supposed to live, help them interpret the Bible. Anybody can read the Bible and interpret the Bible for themselves. One thing nice about the Holy Spirit, if you pray and read scriptures, the Holy Spirit will help you interpret the Bible. But there are scriptures that are a little hard to get your hands around, to wrap your arms around. And that's where preachers come in and they can help you. And that's why God ordained preachers to preach the Word. That way when you stumble onto these areas in the scriptures that you don't understand, you can be taught. So, like I said, it's a trickle-down effect. If I teach and the people I'm teaching listen, then they can turn around and teach others. That's what it's supposed to be. And it goes on right here. You know, it says, it backs up exactly what I was just saying. It says, then they can train younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. In other words, it'll teach the younger women how to not fail. Now you look at some of the younger generation out there now. I mean, a lot of them don't have a clue what life's about. They don't get to read the Bible at home anymore because, a lot of parents don't even read it. In the older days, there was times, parents would send their kids to Sunday school even if they weren't going to church, and the kids learned a little bit. But most people don't know a whole lot about, they know there is a God, and they believe there is a God. And just like it said there in that first scripture, it says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. There's people believe in God and think they're doing just great, but they have no clue what they're actually believing. And, example, Church of Scientology, and I'm not beating up on that church, but there's an example. They made up their own church. I have no idea what their doctrines are, so I'm not saying pick on points as to what they believe, but I know they are not following the Word of God the way they should. That's just one example, and you find that all over. People make up their own churches. Well, that doesn't work. And if we don't teach the younger generation what's right and wrong, they're going to go off and do their own thing. But let's go on and see what else it says. It says, in your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. So that was what I teach. And what other preachers teach, it needs to have integrity. It can't be something that we just whip up. I mean, you have to be able to back it up. And like I said at the beginning, I like to record the messages and put them on the internet. One of the reasons I do that is to allow people that want to go there to listen to them, that they can go there and listen to them again or whatever. But another reason I like to do that, I have no problem with somebody critiquing what I teach. I want to be 100% in the will of God. When we do a message, we pray, we ask the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit does come. God promises that. And the Holy Spirit ministers through me. But I'm still just a person, so a little bit of Heinz gets in there. And that happens with most everybody that teaches. Well, just in case Heinz says something wrong, it's nice to know it's up there and I can listen to it on the internet when somebody says, hey, Heinz, that wasn't right. We can bring it up. We can look at it and go, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I was wrong. But that's kind of off on a bunny trail there. We got off a little bit. But what preachers preach needs to be integrity, seriousness, soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. And in that last verse, sentence, it says, because they so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Have you ever known somebody that you don't like, but even so you don't like them, there's nothing bad you can really say about them? You just don't really care for them? Well, that's how we should be. And then it trickles down. Because if I do my job and preach the word of God like I'm supposed to, you know, I'm teaching men and we're teaching women, and the women teach the younger women, that they know what to do. And it goes on, it says, teach slaves to be subject to their masters. And slaves, we could change that word, say for workers. I mean, a lot of controversy over what that word actually means. So, you know, teach workers to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Wow. So it says if we do what we're supposed to, we're going to attract people to God. Isn't that awesome? You hear evangelists out there, you know, giving altar calls, and you know, you see people going forward. And you know, a lot of these people go forward and they say a prayer, and a lot of them are saved. But a lot of those people go forward and say a prayer and they just think it's a get out of hell free card. And then that doesn't work. But if we live the kind of life that, you know, it mentions here, it will draw people to Jesus. We can, and I've had people walk into our house and say, you know, your house just feels calm. Not all the time, but most of the time. Now, everybody has struggles. And I don't want to make me out or my wife out. We're perfect, because none of us are perfect. But people will walk in and they'll know there's peace. You've probably walked into other people's houses, you know, where they say, you sense, man, there's something different here. And a lot of times, it could just be that Jesus lives there. And that's why there is that peace that's there. So the way we conduct ourselves is going to make a big difference. So if we teach the workers or the slaves to be subject to their masters and everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. And I know I've read some of this stuff twice, but that's because I'm trying to drive it home as to what we're really supposed to do. But why do all this? I mean, why bother? Why not live like everybody else does and just worry about being happy and worry about, you know, doing whatever the heck we feel like it? Why shouldn't we? I mean, that's what the majority of the world does. Well, I want to read the next five verses, and it kind of tells us why we shouldn't. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we do this. We do it because Jesus came, he died on the cross, he paid the price for all the sins that we have ever committed, will ever commit, may even think about committing. He's already paid that price. And because of that, and we know that he did that, and we accepted that, and we received him as our Savior. So, knowing that he is our Savior, now we're waiting for him to come back. He has appeared once, and he's going to appear again. It says here, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it goes on, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. When we believe in Jesus, and when we say, if you want to call it the sinner prayer, or we receive him as our Savior, there's a change that takes place in our heart. That change that takes place should want us to be different. When we start looking at the Bible, we start hanging around people that are believers, and we start listening to teachers, we start listening to people that are seasoned in their walk with Christ, it will make us want to change. If it doesn't make us want to change, there's a problem. We need to look and find out why it's not making us want to change. So, That's the thing we look for in ourselves. You know, that way we know that it was real. But it says, these then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. And like I said, it's a trickle-down effect. Teachers teach the congregations. Congregations teach the people around them. The older men teach the younger men. The older women teach the younger women. And it has a domino effect. And what does all this do in the end? Besides the fact that it helps us live and give us peace in our life, besides doing that, what it also does, it makes us the salt of the earth, because we will influence all the people around us. You know, just like it said in that earlier verse, you know, the teaching, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. If we all do that, it makes it attractive to people, and they're going to want to come to know Jesus. Because a lot of people, and we were just talking earlier, you know, about someone, they appear to be happy and everything's going great for them, and they're living decent lives, and, you know, they're motivated to do good stuff, but they're still missing that one thing, and that's admitting the fact that they're sinners and that they need Jesus. And once they do that, their life will change. But if we don't do our part, it'll never happen. You know, we got to take it to them. We can't beat them up with it. We can't walk around with our Bible and tell her, well, you're going to hell. I mean, it just doesn't work. But if we do what we were just reading here, we can be an influence and we can be the salt of the earth. With that, I'd like to close. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for everything that you do. You give us direction in the way we are to live our lives. You show us how to live our lives. We had Jesus here. Jesus, you walked on this earth as an example. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the fact that you paid the price that every one of us can come to know you. And every one of us can be saved and be in heaven with you someday. Thank you. But right now I ask that you minister to each one of us here. Show us which role in this scripture that we are to fill. Which one of us is supposed to be a teacher? Which one of us is just supposed to teach the younger people? Just show us where our place is. You've got something for each one of us to do, and you're the one that can point it out. But Lord, I also know there's probably people listening to this that don't know Jesus at all yet. I ask that you'd knock on their heart. Holy Spirit, just touch their heart. Just let them know there is a better way. We just thank you so much. And if they do, you know, Lord, if they open their heart, we know that you will come in and live with them, and their lives will never be the same. Father, as we get ready to go racing this morning, I ask for protection on everyone here. Watch over us. Keep us all safe, Father, and just let us have a good time. We just love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming.